Genesis chapter 46, we'll start in verse 1. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of your father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make thee a great nation. I will go down with you into Egypt, and I will surely bring you up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon your eyes. And Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, and his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. And these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt, Jacob and his sons, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn. And the sons of Reuben were Hanok, Phallu, Perzon, and Carmi. And the sons of Simeon were Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Sheul, the son of the Canaanite woman. And the sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Judah were and Onan, and Shelah, and Perez, and Zerah. But and Onan died in the land of Canaan, and the sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. And the sons of Issachar was Tola, Phuvah, Job, and Shimron. And the sons of Zebulun were Sered, Elon, and Jaleel. These be the sons of Leah, which she bare to Jacob in Padan-Aram, and his daughter Dinah, with his daughter Dinah. All the souls of his sons and his daughters were 33. And the sons of Gad was Ziphon, Haggai, Shunai, Esbon, Arai, Arodi, and Areli. And the sons of Asher were Jemma, Ishua, Izui, Beriah, and Sarai, their sister, and the sons of Beriah, and Heber, and Malachi. These are the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah his daughter, and these she bare unto Jacob, even 16 souls. The sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, Joseph and Benjamin. And to Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And the sons of Benjamin were Bela, Becher, Ashbel, Gerah, Naam, Ehi, Rosh, Muppam, Huppam, and Ard. That's names, aren't they? These are the sons of Rachel, which were born to Jacob. All the souls were 14. And the sons of Dan was Hushim. And the son of Naphtali was Jaleel, Gunai, Jazer, and Shillem. These are the sons of Bilhah, which Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, and she bare these to Jacob. All the souls were 7. And all the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. And the sons of Joseph were born unto him in Egypt were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 60. And he sent Judah before him to Joseph to direct his face into Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen and to present himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said to Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are yet alive. And Joseph said to his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say to him, My brethren and my father's house were coming to me in the land of Canaan, and have come to me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade has been to feed cattle. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all they have. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, What is your occupation? that you shall say, thy servant's trade has been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. My, my, my. Let's back her up here and see what goes on. Look at this first verse again. There's a lot of meat here. Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. There's a problem here. There's several things we need to deal with. The word took. Israel took his journey. That's not true. The language says he started his journey. Do you see what it's saying, the difference? He didn't take a journey. He started his journey. It said he started his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba. Now look, God's telling you something here. He said Israel. He's telling you the finished product. He sees him as Israel. He doesn't see him as Jacob. He says Israel began his journey with all the stuff that he had. You know what he had? A bunch of baggage. He had a whole bunch of stuff. And he headed for a place called Beersheba, which is the well of the oath or the well of the covenant. Guess where that well is? Wasn't Jesus the well, the Christ, the well in John chapter 4? Huh? That's the well. And he said he started his journey to Christ with all that he had. That's where he said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. See, he wants you to come as you are. Don't try to clean yourself up. Don't take a bath before you go take a shower. See, go as you are. When God calls you, you respond to what he calls. And he's being called here. And see, he's not calling his flesh nature. He's calling his spirit. He's saying, Israel, there's the man of God, isn't it? Isn't that right? See, he's not speaking to Jacob, the flesh man. He's talking to the spiritual man. Start your journey now and come with all that baggage of your flesh with you. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of the flesh. You just start your journey. Okay? And of course, we know that he started his journey. And he said he came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to Elohim of his father. Here's part of the problem. He's still seeing God as somebody else's God. He hasn't seen him as his own God. He said he offered sacrifices to the Elohim of his father. He didn't say to my Elohim, did he? He missed something here. See, he's still looking at it in the religious way. God is afar off and he's not my God. Well, as long as we look that he's not my God, we're in the same boat that Jacob is. See? And he's there. And the next verse in 2 says, and Elohim spoke to Israel in the visions of the night. And look what he says. God still says, I see you as Israel. I see the spiritual man inside that flesh. But hey, Jacob. You know why? Because he's still carrying the baggage. He's still got the baggage. He started the journey. He went to Christ. But even when he got to Christ, did that make he's perfect already? He's still got baggage. He hasn't got to the day to get rid of the baggage yet, has he? But he's getting there, believe me. And Jacob answered and says, here I am, or what do you want? And he said, I'm Elohim, the Elohim of your father. Fear not to go down to Egypt, because I will there make of you a great nation. Well, when he said these words, I will make of you a great nation, do you think it doesn't ring in his ears the words that were spoken to his father and his father's father way on back there? To Abraham, and said, hey, I'm going to make a great nation of you. And he's saying, oh my God, this is the fulfillment of my father. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Whether I think it is or not, it's not the point. It's going to happen because God said so. And he said, I will go down with you into Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up, and Joseph shall put his hand upon your eyes. He said, don't be afraid to go down to Egypt, because I'm going to go with you. Why did he say that? He said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. And he entered into humanity on the very instant that Adam was formed from the dust and the breath of God was breathed into him. And he's never left humanity since. That's why he said that. And he said, and Joseph shall put his hand upon your eyes. You know what he's saying? Christ is going, the Christ in him is going to lay his works upon you. And Jesus said, you shall do greater works than I've done. Those works are going to be in us because his hand is going to be upon us. His works is going to be upon us. And you're going to be able to see the things that God wants done. I'm going to tell you, nobody has ever accomplished any great thing in life that didn't have a vision. You got to have a vision. You don't go get your vision yourself. I've heard that preached. No, you don't go look for a vision. God will give it to you when it's his time. You don't go eat a pizza and hope you get a vision tonight when you go to bed. No, you wait on God, and he'll renew your strength. And he says, and Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father. Now look what happened. He was at the place of covenant with God. He was restored to God, but yet he still had things to do. And Jacob did what? He left Beersheba. He left the place of covenant. You know why? Because he had to go to the desert. He had to go to Egypt. Every one of us has to go to Egypt, don't we? We can't go any place until we go through Egypt. Egypt is a place where our testing and trials take place. It's not necessarily a place of sand, is it? Just happened to be here. But see, our desert can be right in the midst of a lush green valley called Scioto County. It could be our desert. It is. It's our desert too. We can walk alone right through the midst of all this, all these people. They don't even see us. And he left there, and the sons of Israel, see, and they still call him Israel. Jacob and Israel, back and forth, back and forth. Because he's speaking about the spiritual man versus the natural man. And the natural men, the sons of Israel, carried Jacob, their father, the flesh man, and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. Don't you know Pharaoh here represents the father? I know other people say, oh, no, Pharaoh couldn't be. He was that bad. No, I'm going to tell you what. In the Old Testament, God was seen as a ferocious God. They saw him as a bad God. A lot of people saw him as a monster. See, there's some things that have to be done in love, whether you like it or not. It may not be the popular thing. It surely is not the religious view of things. But God wants something done, it will get done. I promise you that. You know what I mean? So God's got things to do, and he's going to get them done whether we like it or not. But Pharaoh made the provision for Abraham. Now, do you think some natural man made a provision for Abraham, the son of God? I think God made the provision for his sons. Don't you? I do. And doesn't he say in the New Testament, to whoever God calls, he also equips? Huh? So if he called Abraham, guess what he did? If he called Jacob, guess what he did? He equipped him. He made the provision for the journey. He wasn't on his own. Sometimes we think we're on our own. And they took their livestock and their property, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all the seed with him. Looky there. He didn't call him Israel there because the natural man is the only one that can go into Egypt. The spiritual man can never be in duality. Hello? Did you hear what I said? The spiritual man can never be in duality. Spiritual man is never immature. The spiritual man is a spiritual man. There's no such thing as a spiritual baby. We are spirits with understanding about the spirit in the natural mind. That's all it is. And our natural mind has to be trained how to work with this spirit. The spirit trains this natural man to respond to what it's supposed to be. It's not our bodies trying to change the way we think. It's our mind that controls our bodies and everything we do. So we got to understand these things before we get it straightened out. We have to have the vision. Got to have those hands of Joseph laid upon our eyes so we can see. And it says all of his seed, so who else is there? Who else has to go to the desert? Everybody, all of humanity has to go there. His sons' sons with him, his daughters, his sons' daughters, and all of his seed came with him to Egypt. And these are the names or the natures of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt, Jacob and his sons. Now, I can go ahead and read these names, and if you want them, I will. But, it's a very long, drawn-out, complicated thing about what all these words mean. And all it is telling you the nature and characters of all these people. All the different natures and characters of the sons, and these are all part of guess who? Us. And there's a lot of negatives in here. And there's a lot of positives in here. What are we to do with the negatives? We learn from them and push them aside. And we attach to our positives. We gather those positive sides up, don't we? And I think I've already read those things, and going through breaking down each word and telling you the name of it, anyone can do that. Correct? So what's the point of me reading it off and telling you that? You know, I think it said we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved, right? So I don't need to break all these names down. Okay? So I'm going to jump over a little bit over here. I've already read it. Let me see where I want to go with this. It tells that Leah brought 33 daughters and sons into the world. Zilpah, the handmaiden, brought 16. Rachel brought 14. Bilhah brought 7. And the total of all of them were 66, was what we got there. 66. And look at Joseph. Joseph brought forth 2 souls, and all the souls that came from out of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70, which is what? 70. And in verse 28, I'll jump to there. And he sent Judah before him to Joseph. What did he send to Joseph? Praise and celebration. Yeah. He sent praise and celebration to Joseph, that's the Christ, to direct his face to Goshen. So he said, what he's doing, he was worshiping. You want direction from God, how are you going to get it? Worship and praise. That will bring God's direction into your life. I'm not telling you to just go off in a corner somewhere and start singing or get on your face. That's a physical worship. And yes, we may do some of that stuff. But I'm talking about worship. The inner man worshiping God, and that is being like Him. The greatest form of worship there is imitation. And doesn't He want His sons to be just like Him? Huh? Habitually practicing the nature that's within me. See? Not denying the nature, but practicing that nature. Don't care what anybody thinks about it. I'm going to do what my Father has placed within me. You hear what I'm saying? That's that habitually practicing it. And into the land of Goshen. And the land of Goshen means a drawing near. So if we get direction from God, we're going to do what? We're going to draw near to the Father. See? And I'll draw nigh unto you. See? There's the whole pattern. It's all about Him. When our focus, like in the New Testament, Paul said, keep your eyes up on Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. Hello? If I keep my eyes upon Him, guess what's going to happen? I'm heading for the land of Goshen. See? I'm heading for the land of Goshen. You think He's going to direct me away from Him? No, He's going to bring me right on in. He's going to do the same for anybody else that He calls to come. He's going to bring them right on in there. And Joseph made ready his chariot. You know what that tells me? Joseph was who? He was Christ. He had a chariot also. You know what that tells me right there? That was his body. His chariot, his means of transportation in this world. You know what he was? He made his chariot ready. I see the crucifixion in this. I go to prepare a place. See? I see the crucifixion in this thing. That this chariot that God gave him was made out of wood, wasn't it? What was the cross made out of? Okay, I'm seeing a little parallel here. Can you see it? So I see the cross here, and he went to meet his father. Hello. What did he say when he ascended out of the bowels of the earth? He said, and that bowels of earth was us. He said, what did he say? Don't touch me yet because I have not yet ascended to my Father. You think there's any parallels in this? That's it. Back to my Father. Okay. And he presented himself to him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. You know what that shows me? Intimacy. Intimacy with my Father. You have intimacy with your father when it says he fell on his neck and kissed him for a great while. And Israel said to Joseph, now let me die since I have seen your face because you are yet alive. You know what? Once you see Christ, he says he's alive forevermore. Okay? Why? Now I need to die. Paul said I must decrease and he must increase. See, it's all about the Christ. We can see these parallels. I mean, it's beautiful how this thing ties together. And Joseph said to his brethren and to his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say to him, my brethren and my father's house, which were in land of Canaan, are come to me. Right here. Here's Jesus going to make intercession, the Christ, making intercession for the whole world, for the whole family, not part of the family. He said, my father's whole house. And are we not the father's house? Come on. And the men are shepherds. Hello. Father's real house is not the whole world, but his first fruit sons. And what are they? They're shepherds, because their trade has been to feed the flocks. And see, down in the next line it says, and they have brought their flocks. Same word as this up there, they put cattle. See, flocks. What do shepherds do? They tend the flock. They take care of Father's flock. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all they have. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall say, shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That you shall say, thy servants' trade has been about flocks from our youth even to now, both we and also our fathers, in order that we may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. Listen to this. Listen to this last verse. This is what he said, I'll put the words in your mouth, right? He said, when you go to him, I'll tell you what to say. He said, our trade has always been about the flocks, from our youth even till now, both we and our fathers also, in order that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. He said, you say the words that I say, you repeat my words, you speak the word of God, and you will dwell in the place of drawing near. Isn't that right? You're going to draw near by speaking the word of God and living that word of God, not just quoting words, but living what you're saying. And that, is, again, is the mind of Christ. And he said, because every shepherd is what? Literally, it says a disgusting. It's disgusting to the Egyptians. You know what a real preacher is? He's disgusting to the worldly people. The carnally minded, the dual-minded religious folks. See, a true preacher is disgusting to them. You know why? Because he won't tickle their ears. Right. Anything that's serving to Christ, what are they going to do? It's going to hate it. They're going to disgust. See, they took Jesus and killed him. You line up all the preachers today and let them take a vote on which ones they want. You'll see 99% of them. We'll keep them, but them crazy ones over there, that's the ones we want. We want to kill them. They're talking stuff we don't understand. You know what? The whole world has always decided to get rid of things they don't understand. They don't feel threatened that way. Rather than enlarging their understanding, they would rather annihilate you. Okay? You cannot stop the Word of God. I don't care what you do. You can kill me, but you can't stop the Word of God, because Dave is not the Word of God. Christ is the Word of God, and that Christ resides in me, and nobody can stop that. Nobody can. I don't have much sugar. I'm not good about sugarcoating anything. I just like to tell you the truth. Because here's the thing. God set a plan up, and he said, my word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. Okay? And it'll separate the soul and the spirit. Hebrews 4:12, right? So if I take that sword and I doll it up hitting something else and then hand you a sword and tell you to cut through something, how are you going to cut through it? How are you going to cut through the thinking process if you don't hear the Word of God exactly the way God said it? You'll never get it straightened out. It'll just be pure confusion. So who am I to say I shouldn't tell you how to think? It's not my place to tell you how to think. I'm here to tell you one thing, what God wants you to hear, and you and God got to work it out. You, iron sharpens iron. Sharpen your own sword, see, so it'll cut through. But I can't tell you, in the denominational churches I sat in, whenever you came to any kind of truth at all, at least what we thought was truth, they'd say, shh, don't tell anybody. They're not ready to hear that yet. They're not mature enough to hear that yet. Well, you know, that's not my call, is it? I'm the mailman. I'll deliver the mail, and if you can't handle it, that's your problem. If you've got a problem with whoever sent the mail, go talk to him. That's not me. But the world wants to eliminate the mailman so he won't deliver the mail. But you know what? God's got a lot of mailmen. He got a lot of them out here, huh? Yep, they want to get rid of them, but you know what? You can't kill them all. Look at the parable. He said, eventually, I'll just come myself. Wasn't that the parable about the vineyard? They killed the workers all this time, and finally they said, we'll get the vineyard. He said, nah, I'll just come get it myself. I'll come get it. I'll guarantee you we'll get it through. See? So there's nothing to worry about, is there? God's got this whole thing figured out. All we have to do is follow the pattern that he set before us. Now, I know this is human nature, but again, let me reiterate, you're not human. You're alien. See? So we shouldn't follow human nature. But human nature is to take an easy way. It's a human nature, isn't it? We always want to do things the easy way, but God's got a way we've got to follow. And here's the thing that's amazing to me, and I quoted Eleanor Roosevelt many times about things she said, and this is one of the wisest things I ever heard her say. Learn from other people's mistakes. You can't live long enough to make them all yourself. Well, let me say something here. If you can see someone, just like Paul said, mark those who follow Christ and follow them. He even said, follow me as I follow Christ. Okay, so if someone is walking prior to you coming to this situation, and you can see in their life that it's God leading them in their lives, then why would you leave that pattern and go to some other pattern where you've got to walk it all out yourself again? That was the whole point. Jesus came and set the pattern. Now follow me, I think was the exact word, wasn't it? So if we follow him, if anybody's following him, what do we got to be doing? Following the person that's following him. You see what I'm saying? I can't be the first one in line, can I? There's too many already ahead of me. So I got to get in that line, and that's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He was following Christ. But if he walks off the course, what are you to do? Don't keep your eyes on Paul or Lloyd or Perry or Mike or Lois or Jenny, anybody. Don't do that. Keep your eyes upon Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith. You keep your eyes upon him. If someone goes astray, fine, you try to help them back on the course, but you keep your eyes on Christ, and you will be fine. You will be fine. First of all, most people try to get in a hurry and try to help somebody when they need help themselves. Get ourselves in order first, and then what can we do? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I learn not to get in a hurry, everybody's going to have downfalls in their life. They're going to have pitfalls, problems. Let them experience their problems, but be there to love them back into the fullness of it. Let them make their mistakes, because they got to make them. The sons of encouragement was what they were called, weren't they? The sons of encouragement. The sons of thunder. See? And that's what we're called to be, sons of thunder. Because the encouragement, the word of God is what? It's encouragement. But every time God spoke, there was two things heard. Thunder by the people who had no ears to hear, and by the spiritual ears of the people that was there that could hear, they heard the word of God. See, so the sons of thunder or the sons of encouragement were the sons of the same people, weren't they? I'm done. Nothing else. Anybody else got anything?